You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. My guest is Meg Townsend. She's a freshwater attorney with Oregon's Center for Biological Diversity. Today, we're discussing a critical legal move to save a species many of us may never see, but which we all rely on, the western ridge mussel. Welcome to the Exchange, Meg.
Thanks so much. I'm glad to be here.
Well, most people only think about mussels when they're ordering them off a restaurant menu, but you're suing the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to get protections for them. Why should this matter to our listeners?
Well, that's true. The mussels that people might find on a menu are very different from the mussels that we're trying to protect here. These are freshwater mussels, and in particular, the western ridged mussel, which are extremely important for our waterways. And, you know, when people think about protecting rivers, most people don't think about mussels, but, you know, really they should. They're pretty much the unsung heroes of clean water. And while they may be small and look like rocks and be half submerged in riverbeds, their impact is just absolutely huge.
Well, you say they look like rocks. Give me a sense of what a mussel is and how do I recognize it?
Sure. So a mussel is a shelled aquatic creature. They can be saltwater creatures or freshwater. And they can range in size from, you know, as small as a fingernail to, 5 or 6 inches long. The western ridged mussel is a larger sized mussel, and they can grow up to 5 or 6 inches. Typically when they encounter a predator or a shadow, they're closed. But when there is no threat, they open and they filter the water through their organs, and, you know, one bed of mussels can filter, 4.5 particulate pounds of particulate matter out of a river per year. And so they're filtering out things like pollutants and chemicals and bacteria like E. coli. And so really these, you know, tiny unassuming creatures are doing so much work quietly in our rivers to keep the entire ecosystem healthy, not just for the rivers themselves and the animals that live in those rivers, but for people too.
Okay, so what you're describing is that this riverbed of mussels sit there and they quietly open and filter all of the pollutants out of our rivers so that we have clean water. And
that's right.
They play some sort of role, critical role, in the health of the rivers. Well, what happens when they start to disappear?
So what we see when mussels disappear in rivers is that the rivers lose their function as, for healthy and clean water. And, that impacts things not only, like the ecosystem and the animals that live in the rivers, but drinking water for humans and farming and recreation. And it can impact the water for other animals that we care about, like salmon in the Pacific Northwest. And they're really just, they're kind of part of a bigger team. And having a healthy river and a healthy river ecosystem depends on all these species working together. And I've heard it say about freshwater mussels that they're not just the canary in the coal mine, but they're kind of the canary of the canaries. Once freshwater mussels disappear from rivers, it's a really alarming sign that the entire ecosystem could be in jeopardy.
Well, that's kind of scary. I've heard that the western ridge mussel can actually outlive many humans, so they have a long lifespan. What does that tell us about the history and the current state of the river systems that they inhabit?
Well, that's right. Western ridge mussels can live sometimes over 50 years, and they're basically, like a long-term resident of our waterways. And so they have witnessed many changes over time, and they've persisted. They've survived in rivers through times of drought, through, eruptions like Mount St. Helens. And they used to live all the way from, down in San Diego County, California, up into Canada, through Idaho and parts of Nevada. But, now their range has shrunk by 43%. And the southern portion of their range in Southern California from San Diego up to north of San Francisco has been entirely lost. And so although these long-lived species can survive in rivers, their disappearance is signaling that there's a bigger problem in our rivers. And, you know, typically they could live in the river within about a meter area for a very long time. And, you know, although we've seen these mysterious die-offs in recent years that are particularly concerning through rivers in Oregon and Washington, we really don't know what is driving them. However, thousands can be killed, you know, just in one summer.
So you mentioned that they don't move very much. They live their lives up to 50 or more years just in a small meter of space. But they perform a really critical filtering job for our clean waters, right?
Well, that's correct.
How do they reproduce?
It's really amazing when people learn about how mussels reproduce. Each type of mussel throughout the United States has its own reproductive strategy. And basically what mussels need in order to reproduce is a healthy fish population in a river. For the western ridged mussel, they package up their reproductive fluids and make these little packets that float along in the rivers. And fish see them and think that they're food. And so they eat these little packets. And then the reproductive fluids attach to the fish's gills. And that is how they disperse in waterways. So without healthy fish populations in rivers, our mussels are also unhealthy. So they basically have this symbiotic relationship that, you know, where there are mussels in a river, you know that the fish population is healthy. And for the western ridged mussel, the host fish that mussel species favors include the hardhead, pit sculpin, tule perch, and meringued and shorthead sculpin. So these are smaller, less known fish species, but they're incredibly important for the health of rivers just because of the services that they provide to mussels for reproduction.
My guest is Meg Townsend. She's a freshwater attorney with Oregon Center for Biological Diversity. So Meg, when we build these big dams and they disrupt the fish population, which ultimately disrupts the mussel population, how does all this fragmentation and this disruptive process ultimately impact their survival?
Yeah, we've seen, you know, as I mentioned, the range of the western ridge mussel be constricted throughout, you know, much of California and, you know, portions of the Pacific Northwest. And that is in large part due to dams that have been built in their rivers. Dams fragment fish populations. They also cause sedimentation problems, both upstream and downstream from the dams. They can change the temperature of water coming out of a dam, and all of these impacts can harm mussels. Because they can't really move through a river system, mussels are really impacted by any change to their in-river habitat. So once a dam is built, it can completely wipe out a mussel population over time. And, you know, they have been lost in large part due to dams, but also due to pollution. So any agricultural runoff or urban runoff in the form of chemicals, although they can filter the water, when those pulses come in overwhelming amounts, it can completely destroy entire mussel beds.
And so now you're suing the U.S. Fish and Wildlife for what? What do you want?
So in 2020, there was a petition to list the western ridged mussel as an endangered species protected under the Endangered Species Act federally. And the Endangered Species Act is a very strong legal tool, and it's been, you know, the most effective way to save species that are on the brink of extinction. And so the best, you know, way that this act works is in mandating specific timelines for decisions by the agency. So when an agency gets a petition to list a species, they have a certain amount of time to make a decision as to whether the species needs to be protected as an endangered or a threatened species. And for this petition for the western ridged mussel, the service said that there was enough scientific information that it warranted a closer look, and they were doing a full status review, but they failed to meet the deadline to make their legally required decision about the western ridged mussel. That was due in August of 2021. And so it's been, you know, almost 5 years now, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has not made any decision about the western ridged mussel. And until the service publishes its decision, the western ridged mussel will continue to lack the necessary protections of the Endangered Species Act. So our lawsuit is enforcing that timeline and saying that, you know, if the Fish and Wildlife Service makes a decision soon, we would, you know, we would avoid filing a lawsuit. Otherwise, we'll take them to court to try to enforce this deadline and get a decision for the mussel.
Okay, so your notice gives the agency 60 days to comply. I mean, as you said, they haven't complied in 5 years. So if they fail to act, what are your next steps and what can the court do?
Well, if they fail to act within that 60-day time frame from, you know, the time that we sent our letter, then we will file a complaint in federal court and we will challenge their failure to comply with the mandatory deadlines that are set forth in the Endangered Species Act. And, you know, a court could, you know, rule in our favor and order the agency to make a decision by a date certain. The agency could also take action without, you know, needing to have the court get involved. If the Fish and Wildlife Service agrees to make a decision as to whether the western ridged mussel is an endangered species by a date, you know, soon, then it would obviate, you know, our needing to file that lawsuit. So we're really hoping that the agency does the right thing here and makes a decision for the western ridged mussel, because, you know, I said that the range has shrunk by almost half, but that study was done in 2017. And so it's almost been a decade now since that study came out, and we fear that even more of the western ridged mussel's habitat has been lost.
So we actually don't have a current understanding of where we stand with the mussel population. And if the court rules in your favor, or if the Fish and Wildlife Department decides, let's go ahead and give them the protections they need, what are those protections?
So once a species is listed as an endangered or threatened species protected under the Act, then any action that might harm their habitat would be, you know, restricted. And, you know, federal actions would have to go through more processes in order to ensure that they're not going to be harmful to the species or its habitat. And, you know, it would be illegal to take or, you know, harm any individual members of the species. And so what that would do is it would provide on-the-ground protections across the range of the western ridged mussel. It would also allow for federal dollars to flow towards recovery for the species, and it would help to aid in efforts to reestablish mussel populations through parts of its range where it's been lost.
Would it provide funding to find out the status of the mussel population at this point?
That's right. So part of what the service was doing as a result of the petition was it was evaluating the status of the species already. And so typically the service releases something called a species status assessment. And that looks at the current science talking about, you know, the threats to the species and whether or not it will be viable in the long term. And that informs its decision as to whether it needs to be protected as an endangered species. So the service hasn't even done that. They haven't made that, you know, status report, essentially, talking about how the species is doing and what the threats are to the species. All they did was look at the petition and say that the petition presented enough scientific information to warrant that further in-depth review. But because that hasn't happened, you know, we fear that, you know, the mussel is in even more dire straits than it was when it was originally petitioned in 2020.
Oh, I hope we're not too late, but it sounds like we may be. Thank you, Meg, for your work.
Thank you so much.
My guest was Meg Townsend, a freshwater attorney with the Center for Biological Diversity in Oregon.